Ephesians 5 and verse number 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're going to look at many scriptures tonight. We're going to see if we can learn some things, Lord, that you have for us tonight. Lord, I pray that you would arrest our attention now. Lord, there are so many distractions, so many things that are complications that everyone faces. And Lord, there's no doubt that most of us walk in here tonight with a lot of other things that we could be thinking about right now. But I pray, Lord, that you'd on purpose help us to just give you our hearts. And Lord, to let the word of God, the seed that's going to be sown tonight, fall on fertile, ready, prepared ground. And then please, Holy Spirit of God, please apply the scriptures in each individual life to the need that is present. And Lord, may we leave here a little more educated about this matter of music and what the Bible has to say about it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We were on the activity yesterday. Brother Greg Burcham said, "Have you ever thought about preaching a series on music?" And I said, "I really haven't planned on doing that." What I didn't tell him was he's about the third person in the last two or three weeks that's mentioned, "Preacher, if you get a chance to speak on music sometime, we'd like to hear it." And of course, we give here the people what they want. That's what we're about. Make the people happy. If they want it, give it to them. And so that's our focus here. And so I got to thinking about this. I got to share this with you. This is, I know this is probably very inappropriate, but I'm in my deer stand, and Amanda sends me a text, and it's got an attachment. Well, usually when she does that, it's a picture, and usually of the grandkids. So I hang the bow up because nothing's more important than seeing pictures of the grandkids, only it's not that at all. It's Shaylee, and she's singing our theme song.
Bye.
Come on now, come on now. Yeah, there you go, buddy. See, we're not even going to sing it at the end of every service. I'm just pulling out my cell phone. And you probably want to hear it again, don't you? All right. I'll be in the back if you want to hear it another time. Right after the service, I'll be back there with my cell phone out. And it'll cost you now a quarter from now on to listen to it. So I thought, wow, if that's not a sign from God, I'm supposed to preach on music tonight. And I do want to give you seven Bible facts about music. The Bible speaks to matters that are still pertinent today. It's not an outdated, antiquated book that only affected people in a long-ago culture and a long-ago time. These principles of the Word of God are profitable. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So they're profitable today. And guess what? The Bible has some things to say about music. And so we're going to look at these things. We're going to give you more, I guess, maybe a Bible study than a message tonight. But I want to share with you some Bible facts. Seven Bible facts about music. I like these opening verses. I wanted to start here. I think it's interesting that following the verse that exhorts us in verse number 18 to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, a result of that then is given in verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The first Bible fact I want to give you tonight is this: the fullness of the Spirit, The fullness of the Spirit of God produces a heart's desire for the right kind of music. Preacher, I'm struggling with my music. I'm not sure the kind of music I'm listening to is good for me and helpful in my spiritual life. How do I get an appetite for the right kind of music? We have people that are saved out of the world, and you know what? They are hooked. I mean addicted. I mean like crack cocaine addiction to certain types of music that undermines their Christian growth, and they have a struggle with it, just like someone might struggle to give up alcohol or someone might struggle to give up cigarettes. They have spent their life producing an appetite for the wrong kind of music. And many of you that were saved later on in life, you remember the battle of just trying to gain victory in that area of your life. You say, well, preacher, how do I get an appetite for the right kind of music? The best advice I can give you is this. Begin to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. That is not some spooky thing. I'm not a charismatic. I don't have a charismatic bone in my body. But I do believe that the Bible teaches us many things about the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that He takes residence in the heart of a Christian when we are born again. I believe then that it's up to us what kind of relationship we develop with Him. He can simply be there to make sure that we're sealed into the day of redemption, or we as Christians can begin to involve Him in our daily lives. And what He wants is to control us, direct us, lead us, guide us, teach us, help us pray. He wants to direct us to divine appointments. He has a list of things that the Bible gives us information about His duties in our life. He'll convict us at times. There's times that you and I have both sat in preaching services where as the Word of God was being preached, the Holy Spirit of God was convicting an area of your life. I've been there. I've made those trips to the altar. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God and make sure that I listen to Him when He's directing me. So the goal is to give Him control of our lives. And so as we seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and as we begin to experience what it means to be filled or controlled by the Spirit of God, one of the things that it will produce in us is a desire and appetite for the right kind of music. Now, the right kind of music, when I make that statement, is defined for us here in verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so the Bible directs us to a very specific type of music that the Spirit of God will give us an appetite for. Psalms are, of course, in reference to those sacred psalms that are contained within the Scriptures, many of which are still put to music in this day. I feel like that we've lost a lot of the psalms. I wish I could transport myself back in time to some of those great worship services that was conducted in the Old Testament, where the children of Israel opened the psalms, the book of Psalms, like we would open a songbook and sing those wonderful, wonderful portions of Scripture. The Bible talks about hymns and spiritual songs. And the Bible wants, there's a reason that your book, young people, is called a hymn book. These are books, these are songs, the hymns are songs that direct our hearts in worship to God. Spiritual songs are songs that minister to our newborn spirit. They're songs that draw us to God. But I want you to notice that the term spiritual songs is there on purpose. It's very specific. The right kind of music will minister and will encourage and feed your spirituality. It doesn't say speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and fleshly songs or carnal songs. It says spiritual songs. When you begin to develop an appetite for this, you'll find yourself singing. You'll find yourself making melody in your heart to the Lord. Brother Gerald Clanny told me as he preached in chapel here, I wasn't in the service, but he said he preached on this subject. A spiritual Christian is a singing Christian. I thought, boy, I didn't hear the whole message, but the title is 100% right on target. The more spiritual, the more Spirit-filled you are, the more you are allowing the Holy Spirit to control your life, the more of a natural appetite you'll have for the right kind of music, and the more that you'll find yourself singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Brother Parker, I accidentally did not know that I did this until he came to chapel the next Wednesday and told everybody that I did this. But I was in my office one day, and have you ever bumped your cell phone and accidentally called somebody? And I bumped my cell phone and accidentally called Brother Parker, pastor over in Terre Haute. And I was in preparation for getting ready to go over and lead singing in our chapel service, and I was in the office run over the songs. And so he said, "I've seen your name," and I said, "Answered." I said, "Hello," and he said, "I just sat there and smiled for about 3 or 4 minutes as I listened to you singing in your office." I said, "Did you at least holler, hello?" He said, "No, I just thought I'd listen for a while." And hey, a Christian teenager, if you accidentally bumped your phone and called your preacher while you were in the car this week, hey, housewife, if you accidentally bumped your phone and called the church while you were doing the dishes this week. You know, so you know, the thought of that, for some reason, mortifies us. But it doesn't seem to bother us a bit that God always here. You know, God's cell phone's always on. And one of the marks of a spiritual Christian, one of the marks of a Christian that's filled with the Spirit of God, is that your appetite and your music changes, and you begin to want to sing the songs that build you spiritually and develop that area of your life. So the fullness of the Spirit produces a heart's desire for the right kind of music. Over to 1 Samuel chapter number 16. I want to show you a little portion of a story about King Saul that's tied to the music. 1 Samuel chapter number 16. If you look in verse number 21, 1 Samuel 16, verse 21, number one, the fullness of the Spirit produces a heart's desire for the right kind of music. Number two, the right kind of music slams the door on demonic influences. Now, I keep saying on purpose the right kind of music. I didn't say the right kind of words. I said the right kind of music. Because it's not just the words that matter, it's the music that matters. People will try to convince you that music is all moral. I'm going to show you in the scriptures that that's simply not true. And this is one of the portions that tells us that it's not. David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. This is 1 Samuel 16, 21. Notice verse 22. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight." And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, that David took an harp. And he did what? So it doesn't say anything about him singing with his mouth, does it? Okay, you all music, all moral, music's all moral people. Doesn't say a word about him saying any words. He did not utter a sentence. He took his hands and he took a harp and he played music. And watch this. So Saul was what? And was well. And the what? Evil spirit departed from him. Now, I want you to listen to me, because young people, there's all kinds of nonsense going on in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's just nonsense. And people's bought into it, but it's not scriptural, it's not biblical. I don't care what the culture's doing, I don't care what the vast majority of other churches are doing, I care what the Bible says. And so here we see that it's not just words, it's the music. David took that harp, that stringed instrument, with his hands, played a music that caused an evil spirit to depart from Saul. Now, you think about this, folks. Right kind of music slams the door on demonic influence. The wrong kind of music, I believe, on the other side of that coin, opens the door to demonic influence. I think it's a door that swings open and it swings shut. And you may not think it's important, the kind of music that you listen to, but it is important. Preacher, I'm struggling spiritually. I'm just having one of those days where it seems like I just have a spiritual battle. It just seems like Satan's targeted me this day. I'm having trouble with my thoughts. I'm having trouble with my attitude. The best advice I can give you is, would you please go put in some good spiritual music? You'd be shocked how you get victory. You'd be shocked how quickly your attitude changes. You'd be shocked how the Holy Spirit begins to minister to your heart. You'd be shocked how quickly God uses those beautiful instruments playing the right kind of music to minister to your heart and to minister to your life. Now, if the right kind of music drove this evil spirit away, I just wonder what some of the music that's being played, and we're going to define it more carefully in just a second here for you.
Preacher, is there a music that is associated with false worship? Is there a music that's associated with opening doors of disobedience, opening doors of demonic influence in our life? Well, there is, and the Bible teaches that there is. So number one, the fullness of the Spirit produces a heart's desire for the right kind of music. The right kind of music, number two, slams the door on demonic influences. The wrong kind of music opens the door to demonic influences. Look right up here. I'm going to tell you something. I watch our teenagers. I watch them. I've worked with teenagers for 25 plus years. I watch a kid that's got a good spirit, a good attitude, good relation with their parents, and seems like everything's going good. They've got the victory. They're on the victory side. It just seems like in a very short amount of time, all of a sudden I see a change in countenance, a change in attitude. 9 times out of 10, they've started listening to the wrong kind of music. 9 times out of 10, they have started listening to the wrong kind of music. And all of a sudden, it opens doors of demonic influence into their lives that they opened because of their choice. They blew holes in the hedge of God's protection. And they are influenced then and begin to change. Their spirit, their countenance changes because of this this wrong kind of music. Well, preacher, come on, let's get more specific. All right, we're going to go to Exodus chapter number 32, if you will. Exodus chapter 32. So number one, the fullness of the Spirit produces a heart's desire for the right kind of music. Number two, the right kind of music helps you to close the doors of demonic influence in your life. That's why one of the best things I can tell to a new convert is, listen, start filling your life with the right kind of spiritual music, good music that encourages your spiritual life. Now, if you look in Exodus chapter number 32, well, I don't really want to have to take time to read the whole chapter, so I'm going to trust that you have some working knowledge of this once I remind you of where we're at. Moses is up in the mountain. He's getting the Ten Commandments and the rest of the law of God. In verse number 1, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which go before us, for as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off your golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. By the way, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt? Yeah, Jehovah God did. And you know what? Somebody's saying, this is the God that brought you up out of Egypt. And if you would have asked Israel, they would have said, well, we're worshiping the same God, because this is the God that brought us up out of the land of Egypt. That's the same thing I hear from people that are going to have the type of services that the scriptures are going to describe for us here in a few minutes. Oh, no, we're worshiping God. Okay, you better think about this. Think about the context of the scriptures. Aaron saw it and built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation, said, tomorrow is a feast to the who? Look at that. That's the word Jehovah. He said, this is him. And we're going to have a service and we're going to worship him. Some church say, I just don't understand you, Pastor Ross, how you can be against us getting together and worshiping the Lord. Well, you better start thinking about which Lord, which God you're really worshiping. Because there's a God of the Bible, and this is not the God of the Bible. That's been created by man, set up, and everybody's being told, when you worship that, you worship the Lord. Are you with me? Okay. Notice what happened. Verse 6. And they rose up early on the morning, morrow, and offered burnt offerings, brought peace offerings. So there was some religious activity, some following of what they'd done before. But notice this. And the people sat down to eat and to drink. And if you, and I want to be careful because we have the children here, but the rose up to play does not mean they're doing hopscotch. All of a sudden you begin to see a fleshly type of worship service and some immorality going on, some improperness going on. Now notice what happens. Verse 7, the Lord comes to Moses. Go get thee down, thy people which are brought us out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Did you notice God's opinion of this type of worship service? He didn't say, oh, they're glorifying me. Moses, go down and see a new thing. The young people like it. He said, no, they've corrupted themselves. He said, they turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made a molten calf and worshipped it and sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said, Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Where therefore let me alone, that my, watch this, my what? Wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make thee a great nation. This made God mad enough, whatever's going on down here, for God to say, why don't I just wipe all them out, and I'll start over with you and Mrs. Noah, and we'll just do this whole thing over. Okay, now in verse 11 through 14, we see Moses appeal to God, supplication for the people, ask the Lord for mercy. Now notice verse 15, and Moses turned and went down from the mountain. The two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. On the one side, on the other side were they written. And the tables, which were the work of God, and the writings was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. Man, that would have been neat to have seen that. Those were written by the very finger of God. Man alive. Now notice what happens. When Joshua, he's up on the mount with Moses there. He's a servant. He heard the noise of the people as they shouted. He said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. So when they got close enough, you can get close enough to kind of finally start picking up on the general noise of what's going on. It sounded like shouting and it sounded like war. Was it shouting? Was it war? Verse 18, and he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for the mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome. But the noise of them that sing do I hear. So from a distance, it sounded like noise, it sounded like war, it sounded like shouting, but the closer they got, they realized that it was all connected to the music that was being involved in this type of worship that was making God mad enough to kill everybody. Are you watching this? Verse 19, and it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh into the camp, that he saw the calf and the what? The type of music that's being played was not spiritual music, because the music, spiritual music, appeals and builds and admonishes, encourages the spirit, the newborn spirit of a man. Now, the music that's being played here is fleshly music or carnal music that energizes and excites the flesh. Okay, so what we're saying here is, folks, the spiritual music that's being referred in the book of Ephesians that's produced by the working of the Holy Spirit of God is not what's here. I tried this in my office, and I'm glad I was alone. There's a lot of weird things that I do, and a lot of them I don't admit to. But I begin to sing Amazing Grace. Help me sing it. Ready? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. All right. I know this is weird, but I'm thinking, how would you dance to that? So I'm kind of... I mean, I'm not... I'm just sitting... I'm in my seat still. I'm seated. And I'm like, you know what? I tried it. I'll admit it. I tried it. It's impossible. You can't dance to Amazing Grace. Tell people that. You can't dance to Amazing Grace. They'll say, why? Because my preacher tried it. And it just can't be done. No, honestly, think about it. Hey, preacher, I don't know where all the lines are. I'm not sure I do either sometimes. But I know that there's a certain type of music that the next thing I know is appealing more to my flesh than my spirit. And somewhere between spiritual music and fleshly music, I know there's a lot of stuff. But somewhere along the path, as you're heading towards fleshly music, there's going to be some times that maybe it even is fun to listen to and appealing, but it's speaking more to your body than it is to your spirit. Now, folks, what is going on is horrific. Unbelievable. Okay, I'm about to become the most popular preacher in the community again. Here we go. Last July, they put on at the Linton Park something called Lamb Jam. They ran an article. Of course, they ran articles in the local paper promoting it and talking about it, telling about it, and all of this. But here's the last article that came out before the show that night. Lamb Jam planners urge safety first for Saturday's show. I remember reading this original article, and I didn't keep it, but I got on the website, archived it, and found it, and this is the article in the Linton paper, July 21st, 2011. To ensure Lamb Jam attendees don't end up like cooked mutton, organizers are encouraging those headed for Saturday's second annual Christian Music Feast to keep their cool. Free music performances, and it promotes it. With a nationwide heat wave making temperatures hover around 100, humidity worsening matters. The city will keep both east and west shelter houses in Humphrey Park open and air-conditioned. Drinks and water bottles will be offered. Okay, now, another safety issue that is also crucial. While the music will range from soft sounds earlier in the day to metal and punk bands in the evening, stage diving, extreme dancing, and mosh pits are strongly discouraged. That includes dancing where participants slam or run into each other. That also extends to the wall of death, an elaborate form of moshing where a space is cleared in the center of the two sides. On a cue from the band, both sides run at each other. Now, you got to understand, your preacher is so out of it that I had no idea what a mosh pit was. So I used Wikipedia. Do you believe I'm in my office doing this? I'm trying to dance to Amazing Grace, and I'm Googling mosh pits. So moshing is a dance in which participants push and or slam into each other. It's primarily done to live music, although it can be done to recorded music. There's many variations, such as thrashing or the more extreme wall of death, are typically done in an area in front of the stage, which is referred to as the mosh pit or simply pit. Though many mosh pits have been known to occur elsewhere, most notable, the middle. In the wall of death, participants are directed away from the center of the standing area by a member of the band until a large rectangle area is cleared, and upon the band beginning the next song, the two sides perpendicular to the stage sprint at each other and collide in full speed. So they had to come out based on what happened in the previous year at the Lamb Jam and said, for the safety of everyone involved, please don't spread out in the middle of this Christian worship service, and as the band begins to play, run at each other and slam as hard as you can into each other. Now, if anybody, listen, you can put this on a radio, you can put it on TV, you can send it to the organizers, I don't care what you do with it. Anybody that points at that and wants to use the word Christian is blaspheming Almighty God. Absolutely ridiculous. That is not a product of the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. The extreme dancing that's going on in the mosh pit at a worship service is exactly what was happening in Exodus chapter 32. God's got your number. The Bible's already pegged you. It clearly identifies that this is not something that is worshiping Jehovah God. This is the result of finding some other God and choosing to name him the same as my God, but the God you're worshiping is not the God of the Bible. By the way, what happened? Verse number 19, it came to pass, as soon as he was nigh upon the camp, that he saw a calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. Moses was mad, and excuse me, but I'm just a little angry right now. See, men of God throughout the ages haven't changed their opinion of this kind of worship service. I have the same feelings about it as Brother Moses. You understand this, folks. Brother Moses just left 40 days in the presence of Almighty God. If there's anybody that was in tune with God, we would have known instantly what was right and what was wrong. It was Moses. You don't stand 40 days in the presence of God without getting everything confessed. I promise you, he spent most of that time on his face in worship before God, received the temple of God. The Bible says when he came down, literally his face, his countenance shone from being in the presence of God. This is a good man at his holiest moment. And he comes down, takes one look at that. By the way, he has that calf ground up into powder. He has straws it upon the water. He made the children of Israel come and drink upon it. He calls members of the children of Israel to come forth with swords.
Yes,
you better read the story here. Now, what I'm trying to do is help our young people here. You're going to have folks come to you from time to time. You're going to say, have somebody hand you a CD, hand you this is Christian music. You better make sure it's Christian music. You see, folks, listen to me. The flesh and the spirit are at war with each other. Music that ministers to the flesh hinders the spirit of God. Music that ministers to a man's spirit defeats the flesh. Go over to Galatians chapter number 5. Let me show you this. This idea that we can spend hours exciting and activating and energizing the flesh and then claim to have the Holy Spirit God come down and do something spiritual in the midst of that. You know what? There may be spirits that are active in that, but the Bible says to try the spirits. There may be some supernatural thing going on, but all that is invisible is not of God. So we see in Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 16. Listen to this, folks. This I say then, walk in the capital S spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And you know what he's saying there? He's saying, you know what? The spirit of God battles the flesh, wars against the flesh, has different desires of the flesh. The flesh battles against the Spirit of God. Let me tell you who hinders the Holy Spirit, God's activity in your body and my body more than anybody else. It's not your brother. It's not your neighbor. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. It's not your co-workers. It's your own flesh. It's my own flesh. Okay, this flesh, this old man fights against the Spirit of God and his activity. This flesh, this old man that's in all of you fine-looking young men right up here, that are saved and born again. You do have the new man, but you also have that old man, that old nature that is attracted to the things that energize the flesh and excite the flesh. And you know what? I'd like to tell you that that's going to go away in a few years, but it's never going to go away. You need to be spirit-filled. You need to die daily, Paul says. You need to crucify the flesh. You need to understand that there's going to be a war going on. And if the old man and the new man, and you have them both, and you know what? The new man is energized and activated and strengthened by listening to good spiritual music, and the old man is activated and energized and given strength through listening to fleshly music. And you got to make some decisions, young people in life. You know what, moms and dads, they're not going to be able to follow you around the rest of your life. You need to develop some convictions about that. Not a matter of, well, here's my opportunity. It's a matter of making those decisions before Almighty God. So we see that the flesh and the spirit are at war. Spiritual music, by the way, emphasizes the melody. Okay, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Fleshly music emphasizes the beat. And I was kind of being humorous, but the honest truth is good Christian music does not appeal to the flesh. It is almost impossible to dance to good Christian music. But the more music that drives the flesh and energizes the flesh and excites the flesh is not of God. And if your flesh is being energized, you know, this whole idea, well, you've just never been to one of these concerts, and if you go, they play all this because young people like it, and they come and they spend 2 hours doing this. Then at the end, somebody gets up, takes a microphone, talks about Jesus, and a bunch of people get saved. By the testimony of a man that is involved in that, I mean, he's still involved in it. He was telling me about one of the concerts they went to, and I said finally to him, he goes to a church in the area. I won't say which church. It doesn't matter. They've taken their young people to these kind of things in years. I said, after he told me about the effectiveness of it, blah, 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 and all this stuff, I finally said, okay, stop. I want to ask you a question. I mean core sold out young people, core sold out teenagers. How many you got in your church? How many you got in your church? Well, you know, we've reached a lot of them. How many you got in your church living for God? He said, well, you're right about that. It seems like we take them to these things and they get excited and they make these decisions, and then a few weeks later we just have a hard time keeping them. Let me tell you what they did. They made an emotional decision. They made a flesh-driven decision. They didn't make a spiritual decision. And folks, listen, you know what? I don't care if every other church in the county signs up for that nonsense. It's not going to happen here, Blessed Old Baptist Church. Not while I stand behind this pulpit. It's not going to happen here. Because you know what? I want the Holy Spirit of God to have free reign in our service. I mean, the kind of congregational singing that we heard tonight prepared you for what you're hearing right now. It allowed the Spirit of God to have energy and access to our lives. But if I had to get up and try to preach the Bible after what is considered by some churches a music service, and Brother Joe, you've been there before in those type of churches where you showed up and thought, uh-oh, I didn't know this was going to... And it's like wading through molasses, trying to open the Bible after that nonsense and get the Spirit of God to do anything in people's lives. Now, folks, I didn't fall off the turnip truck tonight. I drove it in. I've been doing this a while. I know what I'm talking about. I've worked with young people a long time. And young people, you need to guard very carefully your appetites for your music. See, Christian rockers, the other ones that attempt to marry the gospel with fleshly music, they defend their attempts by claiming to provide a stepping stone from the world's music to Christian's music. The problem is that they are providing a stepping stone. And more young people are going from Christian music over to the world's music than from the world's music over to Christian music. Many, many of our young people, through the years that I've watched, get involved in this nonsense. It isn't very long before, you know what, they're not listening to Christian rock. They're fully, fully addicted to the fleshly, wicked rock and roll music with its foul messages that's being piped out of the radio stations around the area. Now, let me say a few things now concerning the music here and just give you some encouragement, okay? Preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'm a new Christian, or maybe I'm not a new Christian, but I still struggle in this area. Preacher, how do I get victory? Let me have you go to Luke chapter number 11. Let me show you something that... It's very important that you understand the doctrine that's taught here in Luke chapter number 11, verse number 24. If you're going to get victory over the wrong kind of music, then you need to understand the doctrine of replacement. The doctrine of replacement, Luke chapter 11, verse 24, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. So they cleaned house. And then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now, I've watched young people go through this process when it comes to music. They'll go to a camp, they'll go to a conference, they'll confess their sin, they'll get convicted. I hope it happens tonight with some of you. I mean that. One of the best decisions you can make tonight is to make sure that you get the wrong kind of music out of your life. But it's not enough to get the wrong kind of music out. Well, I threw it all away. Good. I took it out and burned it. Good. Praise the Lord. That's what you ought to do with it. Don't sell it. Don't run somebody else's life. Well, I spent a lot of money on this. Burn it. Bad investment. Burn it. Hey, don't put it in a garage sale. Burn it. But you know what? The honest truth is, if all you do is sweep everything clean and you don't replace that wrong music with good music, pretty soon you'll be back listening to it worse than you did before you gave it up. And so that's why when we have folks come through and they offer to sell here in the church, evangelists and some of the missionaries and people, and they're carrying, I think Brother Larry Harrison will have some probably along with the books this coming Wednesday night. Good, solid Christian music. I'm the guy that's up there in the pulpit saying, folks, get some, fill your house with it, fill your car with it, fill your life with it, fill your heart with it. Now, I'm going to tell you, you'd be surprised, mamas, the atmosphere that would change in the car just going on a trip when you put the right kind of music in. My mom had something that she did. I mean, a lot of the mornings that I woke up, I mean, before we would wake up in the morning, she'd have good Christian music on. More times than not, it wasn't a CD. More times than not, think about this, ladies. It was, I got to wake up to the voice of my mama singing down in the kitchen. She was my favorite singer anyway. You know, I'd rather hear her anyway. And so from the moment we woke up, a tone was set. A spirit was set in the house. People wonder why they have all the chaos, all the arguing, all the fighting, all the bickering. Well, good night. If you're going to listen to the wrong kind of music, you've opened up every door and window in your house to every demonic influence that wants to come in and cause problems.
Right.
Now, parents, listen to me. Don't compromise on this. Amen. Don't compromise. Do you own that house or is that teenager own that house?
Yeah,
well, it's their room. Wait a minute. Did you check your deed? I don't get this mentality. No, that's your room. You just let them live into it. Live it in there for a while. Okay. Well, it's their car. Well, you know what? They're your kid. Okay. And so, by the way, young people, my desire, even though your parents have every right to do what I've just said, my desire is not that your parents come to you and have to correct this in your life. My desire is that you surrender to the Spirit of God. And you make this decision for your life. I mean, it'd be a wonderful thing if I had a bunch of young men that just said, you know what, my mom and dad's never going to have to worry about that in my life because, you know what, I'm going to make a vow to God about that. I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to do the right thing in that area of my life. And just make that decision on your own, you see. But you're going to have to understand the doctrine of replacement. Some of you were saved out of the world. Some of you are brand new Christians. We've got folks sitting here literally that's been saved less than 2 weeks sitting in our church right now. And I'm glad you're here, but you know what? All things become new. And I mean, you're going to be challenged by the Bible, and there's a lot of things that you're going to have to learn, and how fast you grow or whether you grow or not is going to be determined on your reaction to the type of messages you're hearing tonight. And I'm not asking you to do anything Jerry Ross says. I'm asking you to listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Well, preacher, I'm not sure I'm convinced. Okay, I'm going to say something to you that I already got. I'm not saying you kids ought to do this, but I'm talking about if it's already in your life, I want you to really go home and take something, maybe one of your favorite things, and stick it in there and just say, God, I'm going to listen to this for the first time as if Jesus Christ was sitting right beside me. I'm going to listen to every word, and I'm going to see whether or not this pleases you. I'm going to see if that preacher's right about this music and what it does, whether or not it energizes my spiritual life, makes me feel closer to God, or whether it makes me feel carnal and fleshly and have a bad attitude. And it's amazing how much of it just makes you depressed. Young people getting hooked on rock and roll and taking their own lives. I mean, folks, dangerously wicked stuff. I mean, don't fear the reaper. You remember 1970s? A whole group of young people across America listened to that music and slit their wrist and took their own lives because rock music told them, don't fear the reaper. And that becomes such a powerful thing in their life. Here's what some young people maybe thinking right now, or some adults, because this is what Satan does. Well, he's preaching against, what's the next word? My music. And Satan wants to personalize that music in your life. Well, he just don't like my music. He's old. He don't like my, wait a minute, it's not your music. As soon as you figure out, first of all, you didn't play it, you didn't produce it. You're just the dummy that made the people rich who did. Not your music. As soon as you figure out that there's God's music and then there's the devil's music, and there ain't no my music, you either listen to God's music or you're listening to the devil's music. And you decide that you're a Christian, you need to start listening to God's music, it'll settle a whole lot of things. Not yours. But Satan wants to make this sound like a personal attack against you. That preacher's just after my music. It's not yours. It's the devil's. Okay? He's just lended it to you to listen to. And it's a big thing in your life. And so I know that this is a tough thing, and it takes some growth in grace, especially for a new Christian. But I want to encourage you to consider these things. The fullness of the Spirit produces a heart for the right kind of music. The right kind of music slams the door, number two, on demonic influence. Number three, the flesh and the spirit are at war. Okay, they're at war. Music that ministers to the flesh hinders the Spirit of God. Number four, spiritual music emphasizes the melody. Fleshly music emphasizes the beat. Okay, flesh-driven music appeals to the body, makes the body want to move. Number five, you cannot spend an hour exciting the flesh then claim to have something spiritual happen. I don't care what you say. The Holy Spirit of God does not energize and activate and do things in that environment. Number six, understand the doctrine of replacement. If you have the wrong kind of music, I'd get rid of it. I'd get some good Christian music. Now let me speak more to the church in the last closing minutes of the message. Because I believe that every Christian should make sure, just make good music an important priority in your life. Every Christian should make good music an important priority in your life. I'm glad to be able to preach this last section here because I'm going to tell you something, folks. You were on tonight. Where does it start, preacher, just learning to get good music in my life? I believe it starts with congregational singing. It does. You ought to just get the point where that's an important part of the church service here. Man, open that songbook. Get a hymn book. Get a hymn book. Open it up. Sing it out. I'm glad that we're a part of a singing church here. We do. We got a singing church here. I love that. But you ought to participate in the song service here. Some of you ought to pray about. Consider adults, teenagers. It's open up to you if you behave yourself and live right. Don't get mad at me. You're not going to go out there and live like the devil all week and show up and stand behind this pulpit and sing songs to God. We have some requirements. We have some things that if you're going to do or not do, if you're going to stand up on this pulpit, behind this pulpit and sing. But you ought to think about joining the choir. You ought to think about joining the choir. You know, that's good training. Sometimes folks come and say, I'd like to sing a special. You know what my first piece of advice is? Before I'd say, yeah, we'll let you, I'd say, join a choir. Yeah, I worry a little bit about people that don't want to sing with a group. They're not happy unless they're just by themselves. I was talking to a brother, Kevin Albert, and he said, I'm running into some problem over at Ellettsville. We've doubled the size of our auditorium, and if you've ever been in there since they've done it, it's a beautiful auditorium. It's got a large stage. He said, this is what he said to me. He said, Brother Ross, he said, there's such a American Idol mentality that's even spilled over into Christianity. He said, you'd be shocked how many people come to our church, see that stage, see, they run a lot more than we do. They're a pretty large church. They see 800 people and a microphone and a large stage. And the first thing they want to do when they join the church is go find the music director and say, I'd like to sing a special. You know, one of the reasons we want you to start in a choir, because we want you to learn the kind of music that we emphasize here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We want you to be trained to sing a certain way, a proper way. You're being trained, by the way, during the congregational singing. You're being trained if you join the choir. But you see, we're after something specific here. And I'm just not impressed. I'm not saying every brand new song that comes out is bad. I'm just not one of these guys that wants to run and grab the newest thing that come out. Even if it's still falls within the... I always say, you know what? Just give it time. It'll either fade away. It was either just a, pop hit, it'll fade away. Or, you know what, it'll have the blessing and anointing of God in long term. There's some songs that were new songs when I was a kid that are now starting to make their way into the hymn books. You know what, folks? That's okay. Because they've got a 40-year, 50-year now proven track record. God has a way of kind of sorting things out. But I'm kind of like, let's just not run and grab everything that's new. Young people, some of you, I know, new is cool and all, but just kind of say, I think I'll opt for something that's proven. I think I'll just opt for something that's proven. And so don't run after every new thing that comes out. After you join the congregation, you become a member of the church, participate in a congregational song, you want to join the choir, that's good. Brother Tom's pretty good about listening to the choir and picking out some people, and he'll form singing groups. He may ask you to sing. If you have an interest in it, go to him. But you know what? I give him a lot of say in that. He's our music director. He knows what I like. He knows what I don't like. He knows and believes we're on the same page scripturally as far as where the boundaries are. And he may just say, hey, why don't you just hang around for 6 months? Or why don't you go join the choir first? Or why don't you? Okay? And, they wouldn't let me sing, so I'm just going to go. Well, you're going to go anyway, especially after a sermon like tonight. I love to see these kids up here singing. Get your kids involved. Get your kids involved. Let me say this. We need piano players. We need piano players. Every church needs a piano player. Every generation has to produce piano players. We've got some really, really quality Christian piano teachers in this, handful of quality Christian piano teachers in this area. If you come see me, I'll give you some recommendations. I can't speak for them. They may have a full schedule. I don't know. But boy, I'd like to see more of our young people taking piano lessons, preparing themselves. And so get involved. Get involved. I put my father-in-law busy. He did this for years at Brother Johnson's church in Rosemont. Once they got settled, gave him a little time to adjust and everything, I told him, "You ready to get busy?" "Yes, I am." I said, "I want you to come over to the school 4 days a week, and I want you to work with the elementary. I want you to work with the high school." Just about every other Sunday night, maybe every second or third, we would have done one tonight, we have a scripture and song presentation. We have 4 days a week to work with the young people here in our Christian school ministry. And so that's the time that we use, the time. That's the premier, by the way, top of the pyramid, premier discipleship program of our church is our Christian school. And that's where we have the most time to work with them and develop them. And so if you want them involved in some of these top echelon things, then enroll them in our Christian school. If you don't want to do that, that's fine. You're not going to hear me fuss at you, but then don't fuss back at me. Because that's where we do a lot of this stuff. That's where we have the time to do a lot of this stuff. We only have so many services, so many before and afters. We've got meetings. You know, stop asking me to adjust to you, and why don't you just decide to adjust to us? Okay, if you're a member of this church, that is good. And if you choose not to, that's fine, but you shouldn't ever criticize or whine or gripe about it. That's your choice. It wasn't my choice. But we need young ladies that are learning piano. We need that. I mean it. Sister Katie, I'm worried. We may end up having to flunk her. She's a senior this year. I mean it. Right now, we're working right now trying to activate some of our other younger girls to step up. She's going to be taken off this next fall, and she's a part of what we're doing around here. And we've got, Sister Lauren, when she was a teenage girl, dedicated herself to learn to play the piano. And now she's our church pianist, does a wonderful, wonderful job. But she made that decision as a young person. Now, you're not going to learn it practicing, 30 minutes every third day. You have to decide you're going to do it. You have to stick with it. You have to do it. But you'd be surprised how many times God would use you and bless you. How many adults? Okay, come on, let's help the teenagers, all right? How many adults say, "Preacher, one time way back, I took some piano lessons and I kind of dropped out of it, and I'll tell you right now, that's one thing I wish I'd have stuck with." Look around, teenagers, look around. Okay, don't be like these backsliders. By the way, my hand was up too. I did too. Did I tell you the story about my freshman year of Bible college? I thought, well, I'm going to go to Bible college and I want to be a balanced individual, balanced. So I don't want to just be a preacher. David was a musician and a king and all those things. And so I signed up for first year piano my freshman year at Bible college. And Mrs. Godfrey was the teacher, and we'd sit down in this room and all the piano players. And by the way, guys, let me tell you something. You want to meet girls? That's a great plan. Not that that was the driving force, but that had something to do with it. But we put our earphone plugs in, and we had these pianos where, you can only hear what you're playing, so you're not chaos in the room. And then the teacher had a little deal where she could come in with her headphones and plug in and listen to you play. And man, I worked hard, I did the best I could. I'm looking and I'm trying, And after about half semester, Mrs. Godfrey, she kept coming by and she'd plug in, and then when she wouldn't leave it in very long, and she'd pull it away. I kind of watch her walk away. And after half a semester, she came over and she said, "Mr. Ross?" "Yes, ma'am." "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Are you called to preach?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Why don't you stick with that?" I was like, "Are you serious?" "Yeah, I think so." "You mean like now?" "Yeah, yeah, yeah." Okay, and I left, and I never went back to that class. So there's some people that wish they'd have stuck with it. There's some people that tried to stick with it. We got booted out. But we really do. Developing these gifts, these talents in your life will allow you to spend a lifetime being a blessing to a local congregation somewhere. But keep it right, young people. Keep it right. One of the things that bothers me about some of you getting involved in these ecumenical circles, stay with me.
Is your kids hanging around rubbing shoulders with kids listening to contemporary Christian music?
Yeah.
Being influenced by adults that don't see anything wrong with it. There's not an ecumenical bone in my body.
Yeah.
I would never involve my kids in anything that's part of an ecumenical movement.
Right.
And it's doing more damage than you think.
Yeah.
Okay, so be careful. Just plug them in. Just get them involved. This church has a good, solid music program. Good, solid music program. And I get my kids involved in every single part of it that was available to them. Let's bow our heads forward to prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for meeting with us. Lord, this is an area that we need to walk guard around and we need to keep right. We need to be careful in. So I pray, Lord, that you'd please use us here as we train another generation, many of whom are being tempted and tested and torn away, some of them, by a false type of worship that people in the community are claiming to be services worshiping the Lord. But Lord, when you walk into those services, there's something, Lord, going on there that's not from God. Men of God, true men of God, recognize it. The Moses of our community recognize it. Christians that are well versed in the scriptures recognize it. But it seems like it has such a pull on people that are newly saved, or perhaps they haven't been properly grounded in the Word of God. Protect our young people. Help them to leave here tonight with a little bit of a Bible basis concerning the type of music they ought to be steered towards and steered away from. May they develop Bible convictions of their own in this area of their life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.